And then I say, you know what? We're not in the Adirondacks. I mean, do we really need to do a bear bag? It's March. What's the worst that can happen? And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, those words wake me up. Bob, did you hear that?
That was Bob Betts live on stage at one of our Howl Story Slams. And on today's episode, Are You Afraid of the Dark? From NCPR and the Adirondack Center for Writing, this is The Howl. True stories, no notes, told live on stage in the North Country. I'm Ethan Chanty. I don't sleep well when I go camping. I mean, it's never stopped me from going camping before, but, you know, I just can't get comfortable out in the wilderness. If I'm awake, walking around, having a good time, hey, I'm totally fine. I love being in the woods. But I mean, when it's time to turn in and I finally settle into my sleeping bag, something changes. And I know that it all started when I went on my very first camping trip with my Aunt Mary and my Uncle John. They were the eccentric members of our family. John was a long-haul truck driver and just had this endless treasure trove of stories, you know, like the time that he fought a bear in a wrestling ring in a bar, and he won. Or the time that he was a bouncer for the Blue Oyster Cult. And my Aunt Mary, she was studying psychology at SUNY Potsdam, very much the free-spirited type. You know, she spent time playing in blues bands in San Francisco. When she was barely a teenager, she was getting stick-and-poke tattoos on the back of a bus. So, you know, these were people who knew how to have fun. I must have been 6 or 7, probably, when they brought me out into the woods with my cousin Steve. We did all the requisite camping stuff, cooked burgers over the open fire, we made s'mores, too. And when the sun started to set and it came time to get ready to go to bed, Uncle John decided to tell us a scary story. We were sitting around the fire when he shined a flashlight on a tree at the edge of our camp.
You see that?
He said.
That white spot on the tree there? Well, I don't know if you kids have heard of Bigfoot, but he's said to roam these woods. In fact, Bigfoot spends all year long hunting deer and squirrels. But when the weather gets nice and people start camping like we're doing now, well, that's when Bigfoot is at his best. See, Bigfoot loves eating humans, especially little kids. And that mark on the tree there? Well, that's where Bigfoot marks his territory. When he's done eating, he throws the skulls at the tree and they explode, leaving that white mark you see there.
Well, me and my cousin Steve looked at each other and realized that the s'mores that we were so dutifully roasting had just caught on fire and melted into the fire pit, and now we were just basically roasting twigs.
Now, it looks like Bigfoot's already been here,
John said.
But you kids don't want to be wandering off in the middle of the night in case he comes back. Otherwise, all that might be left of you is bone dust.
Obviously, what my Uncle John was trying to tell us through this particularly macabre tale was don't be stupid, don't go wandering off in the middle of the woods, you might get lost. I know that. But still, that story has never left me. I'm pretty sure that there's no Bigfoot. And if he does exist, he probably has better things to do than mark his territory with my skull, but still, that story left a lasting impression. It was a good lesson to learn. And now every time I go camping and it starts to get dark, every sound in the woods could be Bigfoot coming to get me. Bob Betts is also a camping fan, and he joined us live on stage at the Howl Grand Slam to share the story of an excursion that made him want to be a little bit more judicious about his camping habits going forward. Here's Bob.
Bob, did you hear that noise? Those were the words I heard at 3 o'clock in the morning in a tent in the Smoky Mountains with my wife. What happened is we are big adventurers. We love to backpack. We love to hike. We go through the Adirondacks for years. And we said, let's take this adventure on the road. So we decided road trip. We'll take our backpack and our tent, sleeping bags, all of our camping stuff, and we're going to take a 3-month trip across the country. So this was in March in New York. The weather was horrible. Great time to leave this state. We drive down and we stop in Virginia the first night. We spent the night at a Holiday Inn parking lot. It's safe and cheap. We were young. We didn't have much money. $2,000 was our budget for 3 months. I bought a book called Camp the U.S. for $5 or less. And what it did is it showed all these different campsites that you could go to for $5 or less. But we wanted to get on the trail. The place was called Gregory Bald in the Smoky Mountains. And so we drove to the trailhead. When we got to the trailhead, We've got a trademark about us, my wife and I, who was at that time my girlfriend, not my wife, but we had a trademark early. We were always late. And so what happened is we got to the trailhead. We knew that it was a 3-mile hike. We had full backpacks, and we knew that the daylight hours were starting to run out, and it was going to be tight to make it to the spot we wanted to before dark. So we have our backpacks. We go, we lock up the car, and we make our way to the trail registry, the trailhead. We sign our names, and we read a little bit about the region. Since we did a lot of backpacking in the Adirondacks, we were used to the same, you know, the same animals that you might encounter here. Maybe raccoon, a snake, some squirrels, bear. We're used to the bears here. But maybe a fisher or wild boar. I said, those are different. We haven't encountered them. And so what happens is we make our way up the trail, and we go 1 mile, gaining an elevation. 2 miles, fighting the dark. We get to the 3-mile mark, and I say, there's the primitive campsite that we're going to stay. It was perfect because it had a brook right next to it. And we always stayed near a brook for two reasons. One is it's great background noise. We're up there by ourselves. We didn't see anybody at all the way up there. So great background noise. And number two, you have a place to get water and wash up. So since we ran late, we decided we're going to pitch the tent with headlamps on. We pitched the tent. We put the sleeping bags in. I put the rain fly that has a vestibule on the tent, and then we put all of the rest of our stuff in there, and we say, now time for dinner. So we had packed our dinner with us, always packed bagels, because they pack really well, they don't get smushed, and we had a jar of peanut butter. So peanut butter on bagel, great. It's like we always do. So we eat it, and we wash up, and then I say, you know what, we're not in the Adirondacks. I mean, do we really need to do a bear bag? It's March. What's the worst that can happen? The bagels come in a bag. The peanut butter's in a jar. I mean, so against my better judgment, I'm lazy this night. And I say, okay, I give it to my wife. And she packs it in a stuff sack, winds it up, puts some of our clothes in there. And we put it in the corner of our tent. It's already dark. So we go to sleep. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, those words wake me up. Did you hear that? And I didn't hear anything. So I open my eyes, but it's pitch black. My wife is 1 foot in front of me, and I have no idea, but I'm envisioning her with wide eyes. And I'm listening, and I'm like, I'm just listening because I don't want to say anything. So I'm listening, and we listen for a minute, 2 minutes, and I'm like thinking to myself, I don't hear anything when I hear on the outside of her tent. And it's right over on this side, and it's right by the peanut butter and bagels. And I'm like, I heard that. And she goes, and so we totally just froze because we had no idea. I don't know. If you tent, you know, a nylon wall in a tent is about this thin. There's really nothing between us. And I'm just like, frozen. What do we do? And we wait about a minute, and now on her side of the tent, whoosh, down the side, and I go, we got to do something. So we come up with a plan super quick, and she's like, I'm going to grab the stuff. You go to the front of the tent. I'll unzip the tent door for you. You get out in the vestibule. You open up the vestibule door and launch it as far as you can. And the vision we had is like playing fetch with a dog, like, hey, here's the peanut butter. Right? Like, that's going to work. But at the time, it seemed like the right thing. And so I'm like, all right, so give me the stuff. And mind you, we're not turning on our flashlights or our headlamp. I'm just like, give me the stuff. So she hands it off. It's like a blind relay, right? And I'm grabbing it. And then what happens is the zipper gets undone. I'm out in the vestibule. And I'm like, here goes. I got one shot. I unzip the vestibule and I launch it out as far as I can. But I'm blinded by what I see out there. I don't see a bear. It's just pure brightness. And I'm like, what is this? And then I step out of the vestibule and I peer around the right side of the tent and I don't see bear tracks or bear. I peer on the left side of the tent. There's nothing. And I realize, I say to my wife, Trista, I say, hit the top of the tent. And she's like, why? I go, just hit the top of the tent. Where? I go, anywhere. And I see her poke the top of the tent. and the heavy snow that was on our tent goes, shh. We were at a different geographic location for an adventure, but that night, the close encounter adventure was in our minds. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the Howl Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure that you're safe out in the woods. You don't want the snow to get you, and you definitely don't want Bigfoot to get you. Make sure you follow the show so you never miss an episode of this season. We've only got a couple episodes left, and you can listen back to this season if you've missed out on any of them so far. Because you like the program and you keep coming back, I hope that you'll support the show too. Make a donation right now, ncpr.org/give. And thanks. You can hear all of our episodes and find out when we're going to be telling stories on stage in your town by visiting ncpr.org/howl. This show is a co-production of NCPR and the Adirondack Center for Writing. It's written, edited, produced, and hosted by me. I'm Ethan Chanty, with editorial supervision by news director David Summerstein. Doyle Dean is our production manager. Caitlin Kelly handles our social media. And Bill Hanel is our director of digital services. Plus, he played the voice of my Uncle John on this episode. So thanks, Bill. Our theme music is by Famous Letter Writer of Plattsburgh, and I haven't had a chance to go camping yet, so I got these campfire sounds from Ambient X on freesound.org. Thanks a lot. For North Country Public Radio, I'm Ethan Chanty. This is NCPR.